And our scripture reading is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I'd like to start with verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had gotten down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, you calm the seas and you keep us all from drowning or being hurt. Lord, you're our rescuer. And Lord, at times we all go through a storm. But in these storms, Lord, may we learn to keep and put our eyes to you. For you're in the midst of all the storms. And you're walking towards us. Let us see you, receive you, and learn, Lord, to trust you and to walk with you. So this morning, Lord, take your word, plant it into our hearts, and help us to be obedient to it and make that choice to serve you in every way and everything. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm really excited in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Has anyone here ever been humbled by the Lord? I was just this week. It takes me a week or so to get over it. You know what I mean? Because you search out the Lord and you wonder, "All right, Lord, what happened? Where do I need to go? Are you, you know, sometimes we get down in the mouth about it, but I think we should really be excited that God cares that much just for us. You know what I mean? See, God can't use us if we're not humble. And the Lord knows that pride always comes before a fall. And he doesn't want us to fall. He doesn't want us to be hurt or to hurt others. So he humbles us. He deals with us. And it hurts. But see, we've got to pick up and we've got to go on. You know, a lot of times we think we know everything. Ever been there? Oh, yeah, but. You know, Scripture says this. And then you go on, you throw in your two cents instead of sometimes just saying, "Lord, teach me in this." And the more I've learned and read and studied God's word, the more I find out that I don't know anything. You ever been there? So I want to tell you this morning, I don't know hardly anything. I know that Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. And it hurts when you're humbled. Amen. So let's look at the wording and let's go and see what the Lord is really trying to say to us. I believe in the storms and the things that we can go through and do. I believe that we should be courageous. Courageous in a fearful time. And why I say to look for Jesus in a storm is because, do you ever notice when everything is going real good? Sure, you love Jesus, but you really don't think much about him, do you? Are we thanking for it and that? But it's like you don't really need him. Thank you, Lord. Everything's good. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes Jesus wants to be closer. And he wants to deal in our lives. And he wants to mature us. And so he allows storms of life to come. So that he can have that intimate time with us. That intimacy. That his children could cry out and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. And he loves that. Now the disciples, they had their mind on rowing. They're like, man, how much farther is it? It's like we're not getting anywhere. They're all rowing. Others are dipping water out of the boat. And it's up and down. Probably some of them got seasick. I don't know. But it had to have been rough. How many of them do you think were concentrating on what Jesus was doing? Wonder where Jesus is. Good thing he's not here with us, or maybe it'd be better if he was. Maybe he could help out. But see, their thoughts were on the situation. They were on the time. Until they looked out and they seen what some of them thought was a ghost. And so in Mark 6:48, it says this. It says that Jesus saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch, something like 3 to 6 in the morning, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. You know, I kind of picked that verse purposely because a lot of times Jesus being in the storm and we don't look for him and draw him into our life where we depend upon him and need his help, that I wonder how many times he's walked by saying, I'm coming to you. I see where you're at. I know you're hurting and I'm hurting with you. And then he comes walking to us and we don't even realize it. Sometimes we don't even really realize that God can actually help, that Jesus can do anything. And so we don't look for him. And Jesus said he would have passed them by. He would have went and waited for them on the other side. They would have probably made it. And they'd been a little worse for wear, I'm sure. But how many times do we let the Lord walked past us in our storm? And see, I don't want to do that. I've done it before. Not even realizing that I did that. But it happens. So that's why I'm wanting to encourage you. When you're in a hardship and you're in a storm and the wind is blowing and it seems like everything is going wrong, look for Jesus. He's there. Look for him. In John 14:12 and 14 through 14 it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus speaking, the works that I do, he will do also. I think that's neat, where the Lord will trust us, entrust us to help other people. You know, love helping other people. I do. We were just talking about that this morning, how she helped this elderly gentleman with the money and her using her own card and everything. You know, that's going the extra mile. You know, she could have just said, it doesn't take cash. Sorry about that. And then said, well, I tried to help and it didn't work. I just couldn't because of the machine, right? No, but she was looking for an opportunity. How can I? Oh, it's for credit cards. All right. hey, we'll just do it this way then. So you go the extra mile to help people. It's not always convenient. It's not always easy. You know, I met on our vacation, there was this young gal with this small child. I don't know ages. Maybe 7 months, 6 months. I'm not sure. And it was a little girl. And stupid me, you know. I said, well, how old is your little boy? She said, well, it's a girl. Oh, okay. I didn't think boys could be that pretty. But anyway, I just felt impressed to talk to her, kind of encourage her. She's just there by herself, little baby, wasn't waiting for anybody. They ordered a meager meal, you know, and she shared it with the baby and that. And so when we left and went out, I went back in. I went to the lady that was serving him, and I gave her some money that would pay for the meal. And so anyway, because I think it ended up that she was on her own, single mother. She couldn't have been more than 19 years old. And I believe she had to scrimp just to pay what little bit she might have had for the meal, the meager meal that she ate. And I didn't know that until afterwards, because we pulled out of the driveway, we're driving down the road, and she came out with her baby and drew big at us and everything. And I'm just, thank you, Lord, that I had an opportunity to help her. And you have me to talk to her and encourage her. And I told her, I said, you're going to be very proud of your daughter. And she says, I already am. So anyway, you know, we should love to help. So the Lord says, greater works, or he says, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these you'll do. Because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, he says, I'll do. See, folks, what we do to help other people glorifies God. It helps the people, and they need it. But ultimately, it glorifies God. And I believe the angels are all rejoicing. And Jesus is looking at that and said, and God's looking really, said, this is my son, this is my daughter. And they're doing all of this for me. So I'm just excited how God works. Now, I want to give you a testimony. You say, well, that was a testimony. Well, maybe, but I like testimonies. But anyway, we talked a lot about healing already this morning. My grandson just started in June, that he had a migraine headache real bad. And that went on for 2 or 3 days. Couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, just sick to his stomach. Well, if anybody's had a migraine, you know what I'm saying. So anyway, they decided, they went to the emergency room and they looked at him, gave him some pills or something, sent him home. Well, it got worse. Next day, they went back to the emergency room. Did the same thing. It was the same doctor. I'm like, go to a different doctor. You know, because the migraine didn't subsist in any way. It stayed in there. And so the same day, it wasn't maybe a few hours later, they went back to the emergency room again. This time there was a different doctor. And he says, wow, if it's been going that long and hurting you that bad, let's do a, what is it, an MRI? So they did that. And they seen a mass in there, in his brain, right up in the front. And so the doctors then did a biopsy, and it was cancer. So right away, they scheduled him for an operation. And they didn't know what to do or if they should do it, and so we all prayed about it. That's downstate, and of course we're way up here. So they would call and text and whatnot. So we'd pray with them, and they decided to have their operation. I said, what other choice do you really have? You know what I mean? If God doesn't remove it and has it right now, then you're going to have a cutout. And you know, people say, well, just be healed and always believe in that, and you don't need doctors and that. I want to tell you, I believe God gave us doctors for a reason. You know what I mean? I bet half or three-fourths of Christians today would probably already be dead if it wasn't for doctors and what God does through them. I'm not saying we don't need to increase our faith and work more on healing and believing God. I'm not saying that. I'm just like, doctors, such knowledge and technology that they can do what they do. Because we need them. So anyway, he had an operation, he was supposed to be in the hospital a week. He was there 2 or 3 days. Got out because he was feeling so good. When he went home, the next day they had a family reunion, so he went to that. That was on a Saturday. Sunday he went to church, and everybody else would still be in the hospital or at least in bed at home. So he's feeling good. And so he goes back to work that Monday. They own their own business. He's tool and die. He has to set up all of his own programs and do it, and nobody else can do that. So he went to work that Monday. I think he only worked 12 hours that day. And I should have taken a picture and showed it to you, but it looked like it was a zipper that went clear across his head because it was all stapled. And it looked like a zipper. It did. It looked like you could just zip and put more brains in or take some out, whatever. And but he was feeling good. So other things started to happen that they go back to the doctor, and the doctor says, you have to do this. We've got to get you on chemo. We've got to get you on radiation and all of this. So we would always pray about, and he did radiation once. Chemo, he only took the pill, and he knew that wouldn't work, but he thought the doctors are going to dump him if he didn't at least do that. Because they prayed about it and said, no, we're not going to do that. And if he did do the chemo where they put the port in and all that, I don't know what all they do on that, but it's a terrible thing. It's like pouring poison in you. It must work, I guess. I don't. Maybe it's like back in the, 1600s, when you get sick, they would bleed you. You know, it's like that doesn't make a lot of sense. But anyway, so they went through all of this. And so we've been praying, you know, Lord, heal him. And I'd say, now you got to realize he's healed. Doesn't matter what it feels like. You know, you go by, what does the word say? We need to learn to believe the word. Well, that's easy for me to say, but sometimes it's hard to really receive. You have a hard time. I said, man, I feel bad and I'm healed. Whoa, maybe I don't want to be healed then. I'm feeling so bad. But anyway, we prayed here. He's working. They've taken two vacations since. It was like a month or 2 months later, and they would, in between, they'd go to the doctor, and the doctor would tell them it's getting worse. We had a mass down here, and then another mass moved up here, and then he had something other in his lungs, another mass. They said, man, it's just through your body. Now, the doctors gave up, basically. So it's getting worse instead of better. And I said to them, I said, you have got to just stand. What other choice do you have? Isn't that right? Medicine can't help you at this point. What do you do? You can only believe in God or not. Just give up and die. Or you stand and say no. And I told him, hold God to his word. He's okay with that. You know, I got grandkids, and I would make promises. And when the time came, Grandpa, you said. I said, well, you know, maybe tomorrow. You know, I'm good at procrastinating. Let's do it later. We'll do it, but we'll do it later. No, Grandpa, you said. You said. I'm like, that's right, I did. So we would do it regardless. See, that's where God is. Except God doesn't procrastinate. What he says he does, he keeps his promises. It's not just in the Bible to make it look good, make you feel good. It's real. So anyway, we're praying with them, and I said, just stand. And every time they went to the doctor, they would get horrible results. In fact, they went to this one cancer doctor, and he looked at all that was going, you know, MRIs and all of that. And he said, so how many pain medicines are you on? And they said, none. He looked at the record. He said, what? He said, but you are resting a lot. You're staying in bed, aren't you? And, no, man, we work. What are you talking about? He says, you're working? Yeah, about 15 hours a day. What? The doctor couldn't believe. See, what he had and what the results were showing would not line up with what he was feeling. He felt good. He had energy. I called down there one time, and it was probably around 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening. I said, is Eric there? Is Eric home from work? She says, yeah, but he's out mowing the grass. I'm like, really? So anyway, I don't want to get too tied up in that, but I'm trying to encourage you here to where you can understand that God keeps his promises and he keeps his word all the time. Sometimes I think we get in the way. Luke 9 says this, so I say to you, well, this is one, they called to the house, I'm a little bit ahead of myself. They called, Holly called, that's my daughter. She called and said they just got back from the doctor and they had a terrible report. A terrible report. And so my wife was talking to her. And then what my wife does a lot of times is she'll say, here, tell them what to do. I'm like, I'm just as shocked. I'm believing for total healing. I believe the word, believe what God says. I'm believing for total healing. So this blew me away. And I said, Holly, I'll just have to call you back tomorrow. Because I'm not going to just say something. I want to know, God, what's going on here? So I went to prayer the next morning. I got up early and I was praying and I was seeking God. And so I had my Bible open and it was in a place. I was reading in Luke at the time. And then I went to Luke 11. Still prayerfully thinking about, God, what do I say? What's going on? And it says here in Luke 11:9, it says, so I say to you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And so I'm like, wow, thank you. Exactly. Why would I quit praying? Why would I quit believing? Why? So we're not going to believe the report, we're going to believe what the word says. So I called her. I said, Holly, I got a word from the Lord. She said, good, what is it? And then I read that verse to her. And she said this to me. This was like 5:30 in the morning. And Eric had already left for work. Left probably 4:30 or something to work. And I said, this is what God showed me. And she said, isn't that like Matthew 7:7? Exactly the same thing in Matthew 7:7. Seek, ask, knock. She said, I texted him that about 30 minutes ago when he left for work. I said, now, Holly, what is God trying to say? He's trying to tell us, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep trusting. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Don't give up. Don't quit. Where can you go? What can you do? trust God. And I thought that was so neat. It built me up. I'm like, Lord, here I get it out of Luke and she gets it out of Matthew. And God says, hey, I can do anything. So it's a good deal with God working. 1 John 5:14, it says, now there is confidence. There is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Is healing God's will? I know going in a parking lot, walking around a new car, claiming it's mine, that doesn't work. You know, you still got to pay for the thing, right? But is God for healing? Yes, He is. But sometimes in our weakness, we miss out. Because we could have given up at that point and just said, whatever. It's over, it's done, we quit. But we didn't. We stayed in there and we were determined. 1 Peter 2:24 proves that the Lord is for our healing. It says, by His stripes we were healed. Do y'all know that? Do you know that Jesus not only died for our salvation on the cross, that was for our salvation. Where He took all of our sin and on the cross, and He hung there till He died. That was for our sin. But to be scourged, what was that for? That was for our healing. Do y'all know that? Do you know it's two parts? You know, a lot of people don't understand that. But it is. So I learned, God, Jesus, You suffered so much in that scourging and You did it for my healing. I receive it in Jesus' name. So, you know, if you can believe, all things are possible. All things, not some. All things are possible if you can believe. And I know I got to wind this down. But you know, when Jesus came walking, the disciples were scared because they thought it was a spirit. And here's Peter. I'm more like Peter, I think. I put my foot in my mouth all the time. That's why I was humbled by the Lord the weekend. And it wasn't that bad. Well, I'm not going there. It hurt a lot. And the trouble was, I didn't even know I was prideful. I'm just saying, thank You, Jesus. I trust You. But when the disciples seen Him, Peter says this. Now, why would Peter say, they don't even know for sure it's Jesus. And Peter said, well, if it's You, just tell me to come out and walk with You. Really? Why would you do that? You don't even know it's Jesus for sure, but He says, this is the way to test Jesus. I'm that stupid sometimes. I make dumb moves a lot of times. Oh, Lord, just tell me to get out in a boat and walk. I mean, waves are, you know, 4 or 5 foot high. Sure, I can get out of here if it's You. So if it's You, Lord, bid me to come to You walking on the water. And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. Can you imagine the faith that took? But the others stayed in the boat because that was more comfortable. Folks, all I'm going to say is, if we don't learn to get out of the boat in the storms and learn to trust Jesus and know His word and ask for what we need, we're really not going to get anything. We've got to get out of the boat. See, that's our comfort zone. We get comfortable. There's a lot of things. Hey, you want to open and pray? Well, I'd rather not pray. Well, you want to give a testimony? Well, I don't really have anything to say. See, we like our comfort zone. We don't like to be out in front to where we could possibly fail or make a mistake. But Peter, he didn't care. The 11 are in a boat. Peter, what are you doing? You're going to drown. Watch out for that wave over there. Well, then he looked at the wave. took his eyes off of Jesus. Did you ever look at your situation, your problem, and think, man, this is tough. I don't think it's going to work. Doesn't look good. And so you start talking yourself out of it. Now, if Peter would have just kept his eyes on Jesus, he would have walked to him. But I want to tell you, get out of your comfort zone. Even though you fail, you might fall flat on your face. And I do that all the time. I'm good at that. My wife tells me too. But he just cried out to Jesus, save me. And it says Jesus reached down and pulled. Let me ask you this. How do you begin to sink? Do you ever be walking on the water and begin to sink? Maybe if you're on a lake and thin ice, you could feel it give and go, and then pretty soon, bloosh, you're in the water. Done that before. But Peter began to sink. So he was sinking slowly, I believe. That's how I picture it. So he began to sink, and as he's beginning to sink, Jesus, save me. And Jesus just reaches out and pulls him up, and they both walk to the boat. And then the storm quits. Folks, when your prayers are answered, do you ever notice how the storm is done? Do you ever notice that? Lady shared about her daughter being in pain, and now it's gone. She's home. She's recovering. The pain is now gone. Man, Jesus just answered you in a storm. And now the storm is over. Folks, it's exciting to be a Christian. Can you imagine you can walk on water and even if you start to sink, Jesus will pull you up and keep you. It's exciting. I can get out of my comfort zone and I can stand in places where there's a little doubt and a whole lot of fear. And not knowing what's going on. And yet, if I make it, I feel so good. Lord, thank you. Help me to build my faith. I can trust you now in this. But if I fail, I'm still okay. Man, that's a win-win for us. Amen? Like I say, I hear people say all the time that it's boring. I don't know. Come walk with me sometime. We'll see what's going on. So we got to be courageous, folks. Get brave. You're a child of the King. Y'all know that? You've got some pull behind you. You've got weight behind you. And why do you think the enemy deals with you the way he does? Because he knows what you've got, and he knows that if you ever get a handle on believing God and trusting Him and being able to get out of your comfort zone, that He's doomed. You make His life hell. And He won't be able to stop you. Get out of your comfort zone. Man, I felt good coming into this church today. I want to tell you, I needed you guys today. I honestly needed you. And you built me up. Just in a little time that we've been together. Started right at the beginning. God used you to build me and to comfort me. Man, I was so hurting before I came last night. Man, all I wanted to do was cry. And I've been a Christian too long, and I know better than to try to quit. You can't quit. God won't let you. But thank you for being you guys. Thank you. You're a good body of Christ. You're a good church. And God is using you mightily. Oh, can I tell you the last thing? Y'all wondering how they turned out, or you don't care? I don't know. But anyway, here's a text I got Thursday. His name is Eric, my son-in-law. Eric's doctor, they went for a test on Thursday. And we had prayed together, and I even prayed. I said, God, they've gone back to and talked with the doctor. They've always been so sick. I said, Lord, Let the doctor see now that you're working in Eric's life, that you're healing him. Let them be amazed of what you are doing. And two, Lord, let it be something that would even give us some more strength in you. Lord, we trust you, even though if it could be bad. But Lord, we sure would appreciate a good report this time. And here's what she said. Eric's doctor said, it looks good, doing good. And his labs have been coming back good. No need to change anything. We're scheduling a MRI and a CAT scan in May. And she says, praise God for a good visit. Folks, this is an impossible situation. God is God. Don't ever doubt it. Amen. Father, thank you for your word and for your people. They're such an encouragement. Let them be blessed and know, Lord, that your word is your word. You're not a man that you can lie, nor change your mind. But what you say, you do. And as you say it, it's done. But Father, I thank you. You're such a good God. Lord, I even thank you for humbling me. I needed that. And I need you. Bless your people now, Lord, in your church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.